Father, I present myself, dear Lord, unto you, Jehovah, saying that, Lord, unless the Holy Spirit counsels me, there is nothing of value that I can deliver. But, Lord, we thank you because we know that you love us and you are concerned. And therefore, Lord, we even pray that for each one of us, you cause us, dear Father, to have our hearts open to hear you, our ears, dear Father, to listen to you, oh my God. Therefore, Father, our spiritual eyes and even our spiritual ears, Lord, may they open so that, God, Lord, you are going to speak to us, you are going to transform us, you are going to make us more like Jesus. We pray all this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
We may sit down. Praise God. Thankful to God this morning. Maybe I better do what, when we were in the vestry, the Reverend Ochilo said, please explain yourself. And said, and ask my husband, I hope you are not responsible for. So maybe I better explain myself. that actually my husband has nothing to do. Actually, Ziri has been helping me. It's actually it right now, my right hand. yeah, but I had a little accident at home, and quite some time ago, almost 2 months ago, and I was kept hoping that maybe physiotherapy and some other treatment would help, but I was told when they did an MRI, they say there was a very big tear, there was a complete tear of the tendon, and therefore I needed surgery. And therefore I had the surgery, and that is why now I'm carrying this thing. So don't, you know, let's forget that I have got this thing, and we move on. God bless you. Now, this morning, we also want to thank God that the moderator and the session have given us an opportunity. As we read from the, as we look at the bulletin, we can see Minister Spouses Sunday. And we are thankful to the moderator and to the session for giving us this opportunity. And we believe that we are going to be blessed together. Now, if we look at the bottom of that banner that is there, that we have had for some time, we can read something. Can we read something? What can we read? Selfish ambition. Selfish ambition, that is what we are going to be talking about today. Selfish ambition. Now, in Galatians 5 and verse 20, a section of scripture that we read many times, but we should continue even reading more. Selfish ambition is listed as one of the acts of the sinful nature, all a manifestation of the act of the flesh. It is one of the sins that we should get rid of. It is one of the sins that we should weed out. So it's good to try and think. So what is selfish ambition? Now, when we want to find out meanings of words, sometimes you go to dictionaries, sometimes you find other ways of looking for it. But one dictionary meaning would say something, you know, that a selfish devotion, selfish ambition is a situation where one is devoted or caring only for oneself. They are just thinking about themselves, concerned primarily with one's own interest. Me, me, me. My own interests, my own benefits, my welfare, above everybody else. That is an element of selfish ambition. When one is primarily concerned about themselves, about their own interest, about their own welfare, about their own needs, and so on, above everybody else. Now, we can also say that selfish ambition is characterized by or manifest concern and care for oneself. Again, it is oneself. It is me, it is me, it is me. Now, such an attitude is definitely not in harmony with the teaching of Scripture, the teaching of Jesus, and should be got rid of. Should be got rid of, along with many other sins that are listed there, so that we'll be able to bear fruit that will last. Selfish ambition also can be seen as strife. I like using NIV version, and it does talk about selfish ambition. If you look at the King James version, the word there that has been used instead of selfish ambition is strife. Strife. And therefore, it's also good to think, so what is strife? And so on. And can, you know, one way we can describe it is a word that, you know, describes, that can be defined as angry or violent disagreement between two people or between two groups of people. Now, the word strife has a connotation of unhealthy competition between individuals or between groups of individuals. That strife, selfish ambition, you know, that unhealthy competition, I must be better, I must be better, I must appear better, and so on. That selfish ambition, that is strife, even in groups, you know, even between individuals, maybe two individuals, maybe more individuals, maybe groups, and so on. That strife, that is an element of selfish ambition. One of the sins that, you know, a manifestation of the acts of the sinful nature that God is reminding us that we should get rid of by the grace of God. Selfish ambition has a relationship with pride. I'm better than other people. Selfishness, me, me, me. Self-centeredness, again, very much related. All these are ungodly characteristics, and may God help us to get rid of them, to weed them out, and so on. Selfish ambition is one of the manifestations of the sinful nature, and is one that by God's help, by God's grace, we should get rid of. After understanding what selfish ambition is all about, I want to say the fact that selfish ambition is destructive. It has always been destructive, and even today it is destructive. Earlier on, one of the minister's spouses, Esther, read the scripture of from Genesis chapter 4, verse 1 to 8, a story that we know, the story of Cain and Abel. We read that Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. We read that in the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruit of the soil as an offering to the Lord. Abel, on the other hand, brought fat portions from the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. We don't know why. Maybe Cain, when we read the scripture, that the verse that follows, there seems to have been something about Cain that was not right. But there are times when God will show favor to an individual and not to another. And God is God. He is sovereign. We cannot question him. But we see Cain, when God looked with favor upon Abel and his offering, this made Cain very angry, and his face was downcast. Why? Because someone else was preferred. He wanted to be the one to be preferred. This is very common with us human beings, wanting to be the ones that will be preferred. So we notice pride, self-centeredness, jealousy, self-exaltation, and all these are manifestations of selfish ambition. He felt bad. Why was Abel preferred? Selfish ambition. We can see those manifestations of self-centeredness. It is me who should have been preferred. Can see jealousy. You can see self-exaltation. I am better. And so on. Selfish ambition. Now, we know how this story ended. Cain attacked and killed his brother. He told his brother that they should go to the field. And Cain attacked and killed his brother Abel. All because he, Cain, had entertained and harbored the sin of selfish ambition. Now, selfish ambition is still with us today. It's a problem that is still with us today. In fact, it is one of those sins that is hidden. It's not like stealing where somebody knows, yes, they stole 50 million or whatever, which is quite open. Selfish ambition is a sin that can hide itself, but is very deadly. In families, in church, in places of work, there can be selfish ambition, and, you know, which manifests in strife, competition, and healthy competition, sometimes through undercurrents, not really open, and so on. Selfishness, jealousy, that unhealthy competition. All this is selfish ambition and can lead to people working for the downfall of others, wishing others ill, and this can seriously destroy relationships. That is why it is important to get rid of selfish ambition, because it can destroy relationships among brothers and sisters, among cousins, among district members, among members of a ministry, and so on, among members of a department in a work environment. Selfish ambition could even lead to murder. In extreme cases, it can even lead to murder, as it happened with Cain and Abel. So we can see that selfish ambition is a sin that is very destructive. Very destructive. Now, the other point I want to say is that selfish ambition, maybe this is just my personal response, that it is frightening. It is frightening because if you read Genesis 4, verse 7 to 8, God talked to Cain when he saw that he was downcast. God told Cain that if he, that he did not do what was right, sin was crouching at his door. The sin of selfish ambition is always very close to us. That's why I'm saying it's frightening. It's always crouching at the door. And it is easy to fall into the sin of selfish ambition even when doing something good. May I even say, especially when you are doing something good. There are many good things that we do or we can do. We can give. Giving is important. You know, the Bible encourages us to give. But what is the motive for our giving? We can help others. It is important to help others. We are expected to do that. But what is the motive? We can be very active in Christian ministry. But what is the motive? What about even in our places of work, in that department, in that section? We can work very hard, but what is the motive? All these are good things, but they can be done with a wrong motive. For example, to make an impression or to appear better than other people. In fact, in Philippians 1, chapter 15 to verse 17, Paul talks about people who are doing something good, preaching. You are preaching, and preaching is a good thing because the gospel must be preached in churches, in marketplaces, in many places. But Paul said that there were some people who were preaching out of envy, rivalry, and selfish ambition. That is in Philippians chapter 1, verse 15 to 17. Doing something good, preaching, but with the wrong motive. Out of envy, out of rivalry, out of selfish ambition. In such situations, even when we are doing something good, we will still be guilty of the sin of selfish ambition. Now, what do we learn about selfish ambition from Paul's letter to the Philippians? Now, Paul says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 to 4, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. That's not human nature, to consider others better than ourselves, but that is the instruction from the scripture. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. We are encouraged in that scripture, that passage that we read in Philippians chapter 2. We are encouraged to shun selfish ambition and to imitate Christ, who, even though he was God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he emptied himself. He made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant. That is what we are encouraged to do. Instead of having selfish ambition, we humble ourselves. So, in conclusion, we can say that selfish ambition is a sin that is always crouching at our door. It is a sin that is always very near us. It desires to have us, but we must master it. That is what God told Abel, told Cain. Sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it. And we can do it with God's grace, with God's help. We can easily fall into it, even when we are doing something good. That's why I said it is frightening, especially when we are doing something good. The sin can pollute our spirits and destroy relationships among family members, church groups, or co-workers. So God is telling us today, get rid of selfish ambition. May God help us to weed out selfish ambition. God bless you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your holy presence. Thank you for choosing to speak to us about selfish ambition, and you have shown us how destructive it can be and how dangerous it can be. But we thank you, Jehovah, for reminding us about our Savior Jesus Christ, who was God, but he humbled himself and even became a servant. How we pray, dear Lord, that God, you give us a grace to get rid of selfish ambition and to imitate Christ, taking the very role of a servant. Bless each one of us, O dear Heavenly Father, and help us, dear Heavenly Father, to go about our lives, in our families, in the church, and wherever we are, as people, dear Father, who are full of humility and full of love for other people. We pray all this in Jesus' name.
It is our time to give our offering and tithe. us pray. Good God, our Creator, I want to thank you for whichever good gift you give to us to meet our needs. Help us always to receive your gifts with thanksgiving. And now we come before you with thanksgiving for all what you have done to each one of us since you brought us to this world. I want to thank you for the air that we breathe freely. And many times we don't forget, we don't tell you thank. I want to give you thanks for the water that you drink. I want to thank you for the clothes that you wear. I want to thank you for the shelter and the other means of living that you give to us. And also want to thank you for the body, this structure that you use, we use temporal. I want to thank you for the health of it. And now, good God, we come before you with thanksgiving for some of us whom you have given talent to serve us in many ways. I want to thank you for the physical doctors who are among us ourselves this morning, and those who are wherever they are on duty. I want to thank you for the lecturers that teach us, who teach us and our children, even our ministers, who minister to us and teach us the word that belongs to you. God, thank you in everything. And now we come before you with thanksgiving of what you have done to each one of us, by where we get the sources which makes us to live. Okay, we have come before you in the form of tithe and offering. As we stand before you as a sacrifice after hearing your word, that we should be not habitual of ourselves. Now we dedicate them for the furtherance of your kingdom, and also to strengthen those who know you, and to give hope to those who doesn't know you. Hear us, for we dedicate them through the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen. I propose we have the benediction now, and I request that for a mic. We don't have a mic here. What we have here is a mic. That is off. Thank you for switching it on. So you appreciate the spouses for good work. With that clap. Have they done well? Yeah, some of you don't even know them. Now you have known them. And they are the people who support the ministers. So when you see us smiling and doing well, they are the ones who are working with us, and we appreciate them very much. Do have a blessed week, and remember to support the Ladies' Week. This is Women's Guild Week. And the Presbyterian Church of East Africa has turned Women's Guild to Women Ministry. Amen? In the head office, the department is being referred to as Women Ministry. So it's a ministry for all women, whether you have a headscarf or not. Please join with them throughout the week and come on Sunday to worship the Lord together. Ministers, kindly align yourself for the benediction. Now go forth into the world in peace. Be of good courage. Hold fast that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Support the faint-hearted, honor all people, love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore.